This is the Rich Eisen Show.
3, 2, 1.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What are you hearing coming out of the draft about why there were no trades at the top?
I know there was a lot of action at 3. So Drake May was a big target. There was no offer that was worth it.
Earlier on the show, Rams general manager Les Snead, Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo. Coming up, legendary comedian Jerry Seinfeld. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and Jerry Seinfeld's about to join us. Holy crap, we're all excited about it. He's got a new film that he directed. It's his directorial debut called Unfrosted. Just when you thought you didn't need a movie that treats the creation of the Pop-Tart as a space race type war between Post and Kellogg's, Jerry comes along with what you need.
I think
it looks so good.
Sounds genius.
And that's on Netflix, and it starts streaming tonight at midnight. and so it'll be all day tomorrow is when you can first start seeing. And the cameos are all over the place. One that I cannot reveal. But it's amazing. It's fantastic. And it starts on Friday, and he plays a Kellogg's executive. Jim Gaffigan's his boss. Melissa McCarthy is his protege. Fantastic. All sorts of great stuff. Bill Burr plays JFK.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah.
It's hysterical.
Okay. He's perfect. Is John F. Kennedy. Yes. Okay. He plays the president at the time.
Wow.
JFK. Okay. It's fantastic. And Jerry's about to join us. Can't wait for that. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, Les Snead of the Rams, GM, head coaches of the Ravens and the Patriots, John Harbaugh and Gerard Mayo joined us back-to-back last hour. We re-air as soon as this hour is over. Before we get to Jerry, though, we got to talk about this. You know the new kickoff rule where basically the kicker's by himself on his side of the field and the kick returning team lines up en masse just 10 yards apart from the kick covering team, which stands on the 35-yard line, and the kick returning team stands on the 25. They're 10 yards apart. They can't move until the ball enters the kicking area, which is 20 yards and in, and two guys are standing back there. And all you got to do is just get through the initial sort of Braveheart line, and off you go. There's only a kicker back there. So it's going to create a lot of ideas and creative ideas. Jalen Warren of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, running back, very speedy. He could be one of the guys back there. Who knows?
Why not?
Because all you got to do is just create open space for him, and he's gone.
He
let loose of this particular interesting idea. They're ideating in Pittsburgh. Roll it.
Do you think the kickoff rules will make you want to maybe kick return this year at all?
No.
The fans.
They don't trust your kickoff return?
I guess not. Dang. We want to win. No, don't go back there. I would. I think it's pretty cool. As soon as you touch the ball, that's when everything, you know, starts to happen. But our offense or our special teams coordinator was talking about Justin Fields being back there.
What?
We're like, hold on.
Whoa, you breaking news already?
We looked at him like, Justin Fields about to be that back there? And, you know, I think it's cool.
Say what now?
If that's a flagpole and it's being run up, you know who would probably take that flag right down and rip the flagpole out and hit you over the head with it is Mike Tomlin, I imagine.
Right?
Justin Fields probably wants no part of that.
I don't know about that. Justin Fields could score, but Justin Fields would like to score touchdowns. He wants to get on the field for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just don't think Justin Fields thought as the longtime and potential future quarterback at Chicago Bears, I want to go to Pittsburgh and be Devin Hester.
Right.
You know, and there is a longstanding tradition in the National Football League of head-scratching special teams players being special teams players, Gronk being one on a special teams extra point.
Broke his elbow.
Yeah, but if you're the special teams coordinator, great idea. Nice try.
Just throw it out there.
Nice try. Justin Fields would be a very good returner, you know, if he wasn't your quarterback or one heartbeat away from being your quarterback.
because it's high on my damn agenda.
I don't know if it is. I don't know. On his agenda.
Black and gold. Here we go.
Thank you, though, Jaylen Warren, for that piece of information. All right, so just wanted to get that out there before we throw it to break. Very early first segment here because we've got Jerry Seinfeld coming out here. Ooh. Unfrosted on Netflix right here on Roku starting Friday, but Jerry Seinfeld on the Roku channel and the station next. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're thrilled to have here. Our radio audience is gone. It's the Roku channel feed where we normally just show a clip, which we'll do right here with Jerry Seinfeld. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Good to see you, Rich. Yes. Great to be. I was just... Thank you. I love when off-camera people respond.
And that's what they do here is they respond.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean... I got to start with the set.
You don't want to start with a clip?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so I'm trying to reach my coffee here.
Yes.
No one ever thought, why don't we make that work better?
Sort of.
But the big thing, Rich, and you got to tell me.
Yes, Jerry.
Are you aware of the difference in how we're sitting as we are relating? Do you feel... Because when I watch the show, this is what I go, why is he doing this? Why have you set yourself up like King Tutankhamun? And your guess, why am I lower?
It's not that much of a discrepancy,
is it? We have a thing
in
show business, it's called a riser. It's called a riser.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the chairs on a riser.
Well,
remember how Letterman would do it?
Which is right next to you, right? Isn't it?
No, but he would always have a height advantage. It was weird.
This is what I was told when I started doing the show, and I swear to God, it was from somebody put me in touch with him who's and you probably know Steve Mosco from back
in the day.
Of course
I know Steve.
Right.
For years,
right.
Close buddy.
He put me in touch with Gary Shandling.
Yeah.
Who told me to do this. Literally. Get higher and get closer.
Okay.
Is what he said. Yeah.
Let's just try something.
You want to switch?
No. You stay where you are.
All right. Yeah.
I can't stand there.
Yeah. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
How does
this feel?
Huh? How do you feel?
I feel intimidated. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
Because you're standing over me.
Yeah. Well, but I'm not. I'm a nice guy. I mean, no harm.
Right.
It's a little weird. And what we want on this show
yes,
is
Jen.
To get a comfortable, a casual.
Yeah.
Back and forth
with
someone who we're happy to have on the show.
Yes, right.
That's what we want.
I think
we're
achieving that slowly but surely. I feel like we're achieving that here.
Yeah.
Right? But
no, I'm such a fan of the show that I can't not try and fix things.
Well, I appreciate that. So is it real? Am I that appreciably higher right now, would you
I'm
say?
I'm just saying if it was my show, if I had your gig,
yes.
What I would be wanting to do is I want to get as much as I can get from whoever comes on.
Yes, right.
That's what I would be thinking.
That's exactly what I think.
Okay.
And this is counterproductive, you'd say? Spatially?
I really made as good a case as I could there.
Hold on a minute. Let me see if I can just... All right. Just better? If I'm a little bit lower?
The desk is too big. Are you working here? What do you need this gigantic glass desk? What are you doing?
I do have, sometimes I have notes. I've cleared the desk because I only have notes for you. Like, I've got these cards.
Okay.
You know, so, spatially.
How much room do we need for those cards?
Oh my gosh, that is funny. Jerry Seinfeld here on the Rich Eisen Show. What made you
last chance to watch this set? It'll be different on the next episode.
It'll be great. It'll be great. What made you create a movie about the race to create the Pop-Tart?
Well,
Jerry,
in your nice promo you did for us in last night's show,
yes,
or whenever this is on,
yes.
You talked about, you were wondering if it really happened, if there really was a race between Post and Kellogg's, yes. And there was. The one true element, there's a couple of true elements in the show. One is, Post really did invent it first.
Yes.
Kellogg's did hear about it right before it was about to hit the shelves, mm-hmm. and raced to come out with the same thing or a better thing at the same time.
Yes.
So that really did happen, and Post really did, the box in the movie is the real box that Post came up with, the country square with this lame granny doily look, and Kellogg's came up with the Pop-Tart,
and
which they stole from Andy Warhol, who had just invented pop art.
That's really it?
That is true. There was no gunplay like we had. So we take comedic liberty from there.
Right.
But those are the two elements that are true.
That are absolutely, in fact, happen, and then you just extrapolate from.
We just found it so funny. Gigantic cereal companies in a little town in Michigan.
Yes, Battle Creek.
You could just see comedically. That's a good place to start.
Right, and then you put Hugh Grant in a Tony the Tiger outfit and let it all roll. Pretty much after that,
you're off to the races.
That's particularly funny in this, and just the number of comedians that you have and the number of cameos that there are in this. It just was one after another.
It was amazing. It was fun. For a long time, we didn't have anybody.
What do you mean?
For a long time, it was me and Gaffigan, and we had a room where we were casting the project.
Yeah.
And on every, and it was a 3x5 card with each character's name. Mm-hmm. It was like 30 characters, and there was nothing under any of them. It was just me and Gaffigan. And the time is clicking down. 6 weeks to shooting. 4 weeks to shooting. And I didn't have anybody. And I don't know. Then Hugh Grant said, I want to be Tony the Tiger. And the next thing I knew, everybody else wanted to be in the movie.
He was the dam breaking, pretty much.
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah. He plays a British actor who is looking for his Shakespearean breakout moment from inside a
Thurl Ravenscroft.
Oh, my gosh. I also noticed the name Rick Ludwin in there. He was the guy who helped create Seinfeld. He greenlit it for NBC?
Rick was the only person at NBC that saw the pilot and thought the show wasn't bad. Everybody else did not like it.
What do you mean? Seriously, you walked in there and was it truly a pitch about a show about nothing when you pitched it?
No, never.
What was the original pitch like?
The original pitch was how a comedian gets his material, which Larry and I knew we were lying when we said it, because nobody wants to see that. It's not interesting. But it sounds good to a network executive.
Right.
So they gave us the pilot. They didn't like the pilot. And then Rick Ludwin said, you know what? I think this show isn't that bad. Everyone disliked it. And Rick Ludwin said, I'm going to take some money from Saturday Night Wrestling. In those days, professional wrestling replaced Saturday Night Live once a month. And he took the money from one of those, and it was enough money for us to make four episodes. We made four episodes. They still didn't like it. And then Fox said, we want the show. And then NBC said, okay, we'll make a few more. They still wouldn't order it. They just didn't like it.
So which episode turned the tide? Was there one in particular that turned the tide?
No, but when they put it after Cheers, we got ratings. And then they put us on Wednesday night, and we went in the toilet again. We had a long, it was 4 years of struggle, which, you know, we didn't really care. We were just having fun doing the show.
When did you meet Larry David for the first time?
I met Larry David probably 1975. He was a comic. I was just starting.
And you were doing a set together? Is that what it was?
Sure. Comedians do shows. Yeah, we go to... we go to clubs and do shows on stage.
See, you threw me off by making me lower my seat, Jerry.
It's
you
not know? The seat. The whole thing has to go.
The whole thing.
The whole thing,
the desk has to go. The and you seat
can't
has to really, go.
Here's the other thing you can't do.
Yes.
And we know this from Shark Tank.
Yes.
When you have a hit, as you have.
Thank you,
and
sir.
Deserve.
Yes.
And it will be a long-running staple. You're going to have a great life because you're great on TV. You're great at everything. Sports. You're sports. You're the sports comforter. Was that on the air when I was saying that?
It was not.
Okay, you're the sports comforter. You make us feel good. Just being with you feels good.
Okay, thank you.
And I watch the show. But once you have a hit in show business, mm-hmm. here's what we do.
Okay.
Nothing. We do nothing. Shark Tank. You ever see them change that set?
Not at all.
Never touch it. Don't touch it. Because in show business, we don't really know why people like anything. So when they do like something, don't touch it. Don't touch it. I have jokes in my set. I have no idea what they're laughing at. I don't touch them.
Because?
Whatever they like. If you like it, that's the way I'm going to do it.
Sure. Okay.
I do a line in my set. It's one of the most interesting lines to me. You want to get into some comedy stuff?
Please,
here?
Always.
So I have like all my regular stuff, and then a big part of my set now is the wife and kids, as every comedian must do. And I talk about having kids. I go, I was there at the birth of all three of my kids. Obviously, one of the most dramatic moments. It always gets that.
It's just
I'm standing in front of 3,000 people. Four of them will react every night.
That's it.
2,996 do not. But that laugh, which is the exact percentage. So what do we got here? About seven people?
Like 10. Like, so there was one out of 10.
Okay, so yeah. I got a C-minus laugh from one guy. It's the exact same percentage.
Congratulations, TJ.
Yeah.
You're the guy.
Now that, to me, as a comedy scientist I am, fascinating.
So you don't touch it, or you?
Why would I touch that? I just do it. First of all, it's getting me to where I want to go. I want to talk about having kids.
Yes.
But that's my first line. I was there for the birth of all three of my kids. Obviously, one of the most dramatic moments. And it gets that tiny little ripple.
It's the person who doesn't have a kid who's laughing.
He doesn't have a kid.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. But we don't touch lines that work. We don't change sets that work. I would put a riser under these two chairs.
Put the riser under the chairs.
That's it. But don't touch anything.
Make
you can't.
Make the desk smaller.
You can't. You can't.
Okay.
You got to hit show here, Rich. You got to hit show.
Just leave it.
You got to leave it. Unfortunately, everything I have said, you have to disregard. Except for the riser. These are club chairs. This is for you and me to have a cigar later.
Okay.
Do you smoke cigars?
I don't.
Let's start.
Okay. We have a few minutes.
You would be a great guy. Wouldn't he be a great guy to have a cigar with? Oh, the greatest.
When you just start, though, you can get, sick from it, right? Don't you have a problem with it?
Oh.
Last thing I want to do is like just do the wrong thing, inhale, and then dry heave in front of you, Jerry.
Inhale.
I don't want to do that sort of thing.
No.
You'd have to give me a quick primer on it.
I can.
Okay, very good. Jerry Seinfeld here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show.
All right.
God, would you ever have thought?
No.
When you first sat down on ESPN Sports Center, sitting there. Who were you across from? Oberman?
No, Stuart Scott mostly.
Oh, Stuart Scott. You guys were great.
We had a blast, man.
The greatest.
We had a blast, and it was on after Dan and Keith. Dan and Keith would do the 11 o'clock, and then we would do the 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, and I was having the time of my life.
Yeah, and you had the little wisp.
Oh, it's...
Don't we miss the wisp?
Oh, we missed the wisp.
We missed the wisp.
Jerry.
Our Eisen fans, Eisen Nation.
Oh, God.
Misses the wisp.
We missed the wisp. There, you're not lying about that.
Yeah.
So, no, there are times when I look at my kids and I'm like, let's hang on for that. Or I'm having a haircut and somebody goes, speaking of don't touch it.
Yeah.
They're like, let me get that one in the front. I'm like, no, we do not. That's the front lines. We don't purposely attack our own in the front lines. No, leave it. you know? So.
And when Larry David is on this show, yes. My God, it's the greatest show. I said to Larry, when he, I think he did you when he was doing the run for The Last Curb, right?
Yes.
He was here. And I said to Larry, and isn't it so obvious, these TV people, these executives, these television executives are so stupid. That is a show. Larry just, he doesn't need anything.
No.
He doesn't need anything. Just Larry talking about what is bothering him
yes.
is the greatest TV show, right?
Yes.
Like, and the sports thing. He's phenomenal at sports.
He doesn't want to talk about Curb when he comes on.
Right.
He wants to talk about what upsets him.
Yeah.
What he wants to get off his chest
yes.
about something in sports.
Yes.
And then to be sit back and play judge and jury about
I know.
What's right or
and
wrong in life.
Nobody's better at it.
Nope.
Nobody. And I want him to do that as his next show. We don't need the actors. We don't need stories.
So it's just him sitting like Howard Beale at a
yes.
desk or something like that?
With you. I really okay. like him with you. He's great with you.
All right. I'll pilot that
know.
Thing.
It's what
I'll
what,
do it.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Yeah. He doesn't want to do anything, though. He doesn't want to drive anywhere.
And, but he said once, I brought up destination weddings to him one time,
mm-hmm.
and because the thing argument I have with my wife every now and then is when we go to a destination wedding and she's like, let's get a gift,
right?
And I said, no, like, what do you mean let's get a gift?
Right.
We're going, like, my presence is my present
yeah.
of going, and no, we've got to get one on top of it.
No,
and his response was, he would just don't even go.
Yeah,
when you're getting
that's a beach ball on a tee to Larry David.
It was,
yeah, forget it. Yeah.
Especially when they asked him, what's the distance from his house that he would consider a destination when he said an hour and a half by car.
You don't even
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Don't even go.
Aren't you the same way?
Of course.
Right?
People think Larry and I are like yin and yang. We're identical. I just seem different. We seem like we're different types, but we're not.
But you are. So are you the same way about reclining in a chair in an airplane?
We're the same about everything.
But you have a problem with somebody reclining a chair into you in an airplane?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You do? All right. Let me see if I can run through some of these things.
I have a problem with this thing being here.
But
my hand, when I go to the cup, I have to negotiate
this. So it would be
this.
It would be better if it comes.
Johnny Carson never had this on the Tonight Show. What the hell is this?
Well, we're simulcast on the radio. So this is a radio mic. We can't just lob you. It doesn't sound great. I mean, if you want to know the sausage,
tell it
how it gets
every
made.
Every other of the 60 shows I have done this week. That all loved me, and it was sounded perfect.
Did it really?
Of course.
But this is a radio show, though. How many of them were simulcast on the radio?
I don't even know what that means. And I'm exhausted.
Oh my gosh, Jerry Seinfeld here on the program. All right, I have a couple questions for you from your back in your day with Seinfeld, if you don't
okay,
mind.
Okay, sure.
The Keith Hernandez episode.
Oh, yeah.
How was that born? How did that get born?
Well, the idea was, who would be the ultimate catch for me that we could do this story of Jerry trying to seduce, for lack of a better word, or inculcate?
Yes.
Maybe that's not a good word for a sports simulcast show.
Please drop it. Go
inculcate.
For it.
What word would you pick? Wanting to be with someone I idolize or heroize
yes.
or something.
Yes.
And for me, you know, being a Mets fan as you are, mm-hmm. Keith, in 1990, we were only a few years removed from 86. And
right.
Keith was my idol. He was my hero.
And so,
you know, I loved the way he would captain the infield, you know. He was such a great team captain, wasn't he? Wasn't he the...
Oh,
what a captain's supposed to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I mean, you had Gary Carter behind home plate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you,
yeah.
of course, you had the pitching staff. But
yeah.
Keith Hernandez coming from the Cardinals has really helped, along with Carter from the Expos, kind of put it all together.
Beautiful. Yeah, put it
you know?
Together. Yeah.
Exactly. So you reached out to him, and
yeah.
you pitched him, and he was fine with it?
I don't remember. I remember we suggested him, oh, he's handsome, and we sent him the script, and he said yes. He, of course, had no idea what he was saying yes to.
None.
And that was the only day on
the series, that I worked on the series, that before I drove in my closet, I changed my shirt twice. Wow. Thinking, no, pink, not pink. No, blue, no.
Just to make sure.
It was like a big date. I was so excited to meet him.
So it was true to form, the script and the plot was true to form.
It was true, yes.
You would have helped him move if he had asked.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He was my man crush, that's what they call it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so...
And I still love the guy, by the way. Absolutely love the guy.
Well, he's amazing on the broadcast. That's
amazing,
one of the best
yeah.
local broadcasts, if for lack of a better phrase, with Gary Cohn and him and Ron Darling. They're just, they're fantastic.
Yeah. Here's a question for you that a Mets fan said to me the other day.
Yes.
Would you trade that booth for a World Series? And he said, absolutely not.
Whoa.
Absolutely not. Because that's 3 hours of entertainment nightly for me.
Yes.
Rich Eisen, I put
would
it to
I
you.
Change it,
would you trade the booth for a World Series win?
You're asking somebody who puts a roof over their head to talk because I would never trade. No, of course not.
No.
You value the booth. You the value booth. The announcer. The broadcasters are worth
gold medals. That's an Olympic gold medal what we have there.
It would be me like asking you if comedians are valuable, you know?
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't, but...
No, that's my livelihood. I will always back up the play of the announcer. I will always do that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I was saying to somebody, the three people that I've seen that really have it made.
Yes.
Sports announcers, the wine guys in restaurants that are out of their minds.
Sommeliers?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And pilots. Pilots are the happiest people. There's a few people in life that are not looking like, how do you get that job? I'm okay doing this, but I'd really love to do that.
Right.
You've got one of those jobs. You're not looking around going, boy, I wish I was ..
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Same with, now I can't put stand-up comedians in that category.
Really?
Stand-up comedians, no. They're always going, sitcom, movie part.
It's always something else.
Always something else.
Gotcha. What pilot though?
Okay. Pilots. Okay. Do you ever talk to pilots?
Not particularly. But
yeah, I talk to them all the time.
And
they just let me fly this plane. That's all I want to do. That's all I want
to
do.
Wouldn't you want to? But you don't talk to them while they're flying, right? You leave
no,
them
not
the
while
business.
They're flying. But I've met them.
Okay.
You're talking to one of the very few stand-up comedians that never wanted ever to do anything else. Everything else I've done, including this movie, which was a lot of fun to do, I didn't want to do it.
Not even your sitcom, but one of the greatest sitcoms of all time.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
It's the truth, Jerry.
Oh, that's nice.
It's the truth.
Didn't want to do it. Larry didn't either.
You could have done it. Come on.
I'm telling you.
Come on. I mean, Jerry, you know that people walk around and use lines, even when I have a pretzel and they're making me thirsty.
It has made my life a dream, but I didn't want to do it. I don't know why I worked so hard to do it.
180 episodes,
pushing NBC to please give us a chance. I don't know. It seemed like the right thing to do, but being a stand-up comic is really fun.
I would find that tougher. I did stand-up comedy in college.
Really?
Yes. For 4 years, I did it. And it's
4 years?
Yes, I did. You know, once a
month.
With
the Wisp.
With the Wisp. The Wisp was funny. I was funnier with the Wisp.
And tell me what happened.
I don't know. It was just, it's the toughest thing I've ever had to do. I did it in the student union. So, I would pack the house. So I knew that the crowd was friendly. Couple times I actually went on the road to see what it would be like. It was the toughest thing I ever had to do. It was in front of 20 people. I was paid a hamburger.
Yeah.
And most of the comedians afterwards were like, are you going to use that? Meaning the joke that I just used, if I'm not going to use it anymore.
Yeah.
And it just struck me as kind of cutthroat. And I don't know if I was cut out for it, to be straight
cutthroat isn't the right word. I would call it animalistic. It is an animalistic existence.
What's the difference?
Cutthroat is someone else sabotaging you.
Okay.
Animalistic means you have to be cretinous. You have to be a ground dweller.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a, you know that thing they do in the army with the wires and you crawl under it?
Sure, yeah.
If you're doing that and going, this is kind of fun, you could do stand-up comedy. If you think, this is kind of fun crawling under these wires.
Right.
That's about it. You have to have that gear of... I still like the. I did a show recently in a town I'm not going to name.
And I wasn't good. I was struggling.
Right.
I just knew this is not the kind of, this is not working tonight. It's just okay. I'm getting like decent laughs and they're paying a lot of money and I'm not destroying them. And I was sweating, you know, and I feel that bead going down the middle of my spine.
Uh-huh.
You don't feel that when you do a sitcom or a talk show. You feel that when you're doing an hour and 20 minutes of stand-up in a small town.
And you like that?
I like that.
Huh.
I like that. And I turn around and I take a sip of water. Did you ever see Lenny with Lenny Bruce?
No, but I know who you're talking about, obviously.
Yeah, it's a Dustin Hoffman movie from the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And the top of the movie is he's playing a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the tux on and he's bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around to the band. He's getting a sip of water and he just says to the band, "It's granite out there."
That's
and
it.
When I saw that, when I was 18, I said, that's the life I want.
Damn, Jerry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how you got to be built to survive the early years of stand-up. You have to be armadillo-ish.
I have a couple curve questions for you,
okay,
if you don't mind.
First, how great was that, by the way?
But the finale?
Yeah.
Okay. That's definitely one of the things I want to talk with you about. But before you get to that, in the Seinfeld reunion season, there's a scene where the season of Curb, where you come back.
Oh, okay.
Where everybody's come back.
Oh, that season, that right. Season that was a while ago.
Right.
Yeah,
a while ago.
Yeah.
There's a scene, and we can't tell the joke again.
No.
But Bob Einstein comes up to you.
Your question is,
what, did you know?
Was that a real laugh? Was I really hearing that joke for the first
time?
That
is my question.
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
You had no idea when you did you know he was going to approach you? Is that at least in the script? That
yes, okay, Bob is going to come up to you and tell a joke.
Did Larry know what the joke was that was coming up?
I think so, because you could see how unhappy he is.
Okay.
He doesn't like that joke in real life.
In real life?
No, he doesn't like it. He didn't want Bob to do it.
In real life?
In real life.
So he's playing something in real life.
Larry and I reaction. Do not act.
As a fresh reminder.
Yes.
Okay.
You know why? Mm-hmm. There's no money in it for us. We're not good at it.
That said. So he comes up to you and he starts telling this joke and you'd never heard it before. And your reaction.
Never heard the joke before. By the way, the beauty of the telling.
Mm-hmm.
At the way Einstein crafts that joke,
yes,
everything but the end of that joke, even the end, it's a great Bob Einstein joke because this is the most filthy, profane, talk about a ground dweller. Bob Einstein is just, he is a filthy animal of a person. The greatest thing in life, and I love Bob and I miss Bob so much. Because we, after, and I had never met him before.
Really?
And I loved him my whole life. Officer Judy, the Smothers Brothers. I don't know if you go back that far.
Sure, yeah,
1969.
Sure.
So I got to meet him and fell in love with him instantly. And so when the day after any big award show, you get on the phone with Bob Einstein and the profanity and viciousness of he would tear apart every person that won or lost or everything on that show. Oh, the greatest show ever was Bob Einstein the morning after the Oscars, Golden Globes, Emmys, any of that
and
stuff.
And you got the after you
and
met
he
him.
Would I would call him okay. Always the next. I would we would talk every other day.
Well, he had you at hello and that with that
oh,
joke.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh! Just so your reaction throughout the whole thing, where you're reacting to the opening line, to use that word.
Yeah.
Where, okay, and then the very end.
Yeah.
You had not heard it before.
I think we did it another time.
Okay.
But they used the first time because I didn't know the end of the joke. I didn't know the finish of the joke.
And your reaction.
So that was real. Yeah, that was real.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What did you think of the finale? Of the Curb
I loved it. I drove home that night. That scene we shot with me and Larry in the jail cell was after 11, pushing midnight that night.
Mm-hmm.
We were all wiped out. And we hit on that idea, me, Larry, and Schaefer, who was the director. And we hit on, why don't we do a bit about the Seinfeld finale, how this is what we should have done. And the three of us looked at each other like we had just tripped over a bar of gold. Remember Banya? That's gold, Jerry. Gold.
That,
yes. That was the moment, you know. And we were talking all day about
series finales. And so we suddenly realized, and we knew that people did not love the series finale of Seinfeld. We knew that. Mm. And we realized, oh my God, we're going to change it right now. And we did it. And I thought it worked. I thought it was funny and interesting and clever to connect the two series at the end of Larry David and I's television series life, you know?
Yeah.
At the end, we reconnect the whole thing. Two shows of two guys who were partners 25 years apart, both playing themselves. The math of all that. Mm-hmm. It comes together in the end, and we realize we went from worse to something really great. I'm getting the chills just talking about it. It was a chill. I thought, holy, you know what?
Yeah.
We just, it just landed in our laps.
And that, again, because it was apparent throughout the entire episode that this, what it was, looked like it was heading towards.
Yes, but.
With the same courtroom scenes of people from the past pointing out your awful behavior that we've been spending our entire lives laughing at.
Yes,
and with, you know, but that you just came up with that.
But we didn't have that. When Kramer is hitting golf balls at the beach and George is dating this girl pretending to be a marine biologist and walking on the beach and then saves a whale on the beach, we're shooting the episode, okay? We're shooting it, I don't know the schedule that week, but let's say we're shooting it on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday. We don't have the golf ball goes into the blowhole of the whale. We don't have it.
You don't?
No. Was never in the script. It was the night before. It was the night before we shot the scene with Jason in the coffee shop. I said to Larry, hey, what if what puts the whale in distress is Kramer's golf ball? He's hitting golf balls at the beach. George is walking on the beach with the girl. We haven't connected them. We saw no connection. The night before,
wow.
We write that speech the night before, 2 o'clock in the morning.
But the sea was angry?
The sea was angry that day, my friend. We show up the next day. We hand Jason, who's a effing genius, we hand Jason that speech. How long is that speech? It's a page, 2 pages.
Yes.
It's almost a minute.
You walk up, this is TV, okay? This is why film sucks. You walk up to a TV actor like Jason, and you hand him 2.5 pages, and I go, we got to shoot this in a half hour. Memorize it. He goes, no problem. That's TV.
That line.
No preciousness. And he, when I, here's a, I got a nugget for you.
Please.
So when Jason is doing the speech, mm-hmm. there's one shot, there's one cut to me with my eyes, my eyebrows, I'm watching him. Mm-hmm. You think I'm reacting to the story. I'm reacting. I can't believe he's getting this speech word perfect. That is what I'm thinking. I'm not even in the scene. I'm not acting. Wow. I'm just watching Jason get the speech right in front of a live audience. Right. Okay? It's not film. In film, movies, you screw it up, and we'll do it again.
Yeah.
In TV, this live audience is going to hear this speech for the first time once. Once. So you want those juicy laughs.
Absolutely.
Of they're hearing these jokes the first time, and he's getting it perfect. That is why I have that look on my face.
I
in
said,
that
easy,
scene.
Big fella.
Yeah. John Wayne.
like an old man returning soup at a deli.
Sending soup back at a deli. Yeah.
And then,
Jewish is that joke, by the way?
Brilliant. But then the ultimate is the cherry on top of Kramer saying, is it a Titleist? As if it could be someone else's golf ball that got put into the blowhole.
Well, that's a golfer, right?
That is, yes.
That's a golfer.
It was a golf aficionado question. Like, it could be someone else's golf ball. Like,
yeah.
It couldn't be mine.
Is it a two? Yeah, is it a Titleist too?
Oh,
going up the
God.
Chain at Titleist that morning, getting someone at Titleist to let us say Titleist.
Oh, wow.
You have to do that. I did not do that in Unfrosted, by the way. There was no call to Kellogg's. No, let's go to court.
I want to be on the stand on Pop Tart charges.
Dude, there's a lot of exhibits to be had in this movie, that's for sure.
But you got some good stuff here. Nobody, there's a couple things I've never said publicly before.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Well, I appreciate that.
But yeah, the Titleist thing, we were biting our nails. Is Titleist? It has to be Titleist. It's the funny golf ball.
Yes.
It has to be.
Yeah, no other brand
is as
funny as Titleist.
No other brand is going to work.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like the Sunshine Boys, like words that they're funny with K's in it, right? Like, you know, I know there's no K in Titleist, but there's certain words that are funnier. Titleist is funnier than
and then the
Callaway
call comes in. Titleist is cool. Titleist is cool. And Larry and I are just like, yes.
Another line as well. I mean, I could go on for days here. A few minutes we have left with Jerry Seinfeld here. Another button line that's as genius button line as I've ever heard is you delivering and you want to be my late tech salesman at the end of the where the Vandalay Industries. You don't remember this part?
Well, of course I remember it, but I'm going to ask you, do you like that better than I can't be with someone if I don't respect what they do? And I say to the woman, you're a cashier. Does that beat you're a cashier? I'm telling you, you're a cashier got me that series.
You think so?
Yeah, that line. The crush on that laugh was so big. And, you know, by the way, speaking of old Jewish stuff, what the hell is a cashier? Even in 89, that word was over. But we do. That's, again, K-Sound. We're not saying check out. We're not saying you work in sales.
Right, cashier.
No. You're a cashier. Word with a K start.
Yes.
That's comedy touch. That goes over the goal line.
That's like Sunshine Boys, which is a movie you have to see, Chris. I'm sure I haven't seen it. But see, you want to be my latex salesman. He's got his pants down. He's running out from the bathroom.
Say Vandalay Industries,
because it's his gambit of trying to...
I don't love the line as much as door opens punchline.
Right.
Door opens punchline is that's a comedy heaven.
Right.
Every comedian dreams of doing that in their life once.
Right.
I want to swing a door open and drop a line that's a punchline. The line is a good line.
Okay.
It's not my favorite.
So then what is your favorite? Do you have one?
Oh.
Clearly.
You got me there. What is my favorite line I ever delivered on this TV series?
Or what? Yeah, that you ever delivered on the TV series.
I do think you're a cashier. I felt like a halfback when you make the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going upfield.
Okay.
That's it. You know, and that was one of the first or second episodes. And I was very uncomfortable acting. We were uncomfortable doing everything. We didn't know what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Larry and I learned to write stories, dialogue, scenes, act breaks, the whole racket.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know anything. So in that moment, I felt like we just turned the corner because, you know, you just, we just barreled that one, mm-hmm. you know.
And the last one for you, did the double dip happen to you?
No.
It did not. Who did the double dip happen to?
Well, that's one of my favorite lines. Just dip once and end it. That's a great line.
Just dip once and
end it.
The way you delivered it, too.
That guy was great. Why is that line funny?
Okay.
Rich Eisen wants to know. It ends a little sooner than you think it will.
Because
just dip once and don't dip again. That's what you think is coming.
Right.
But it ends sooner than that. So that's what... That's how you get a left. There.
So that did not happen to you, the double dip.
No.
Anything that did happen to you specifically that you put into this show that stands out? The car reservation, did that happen to you personally?
Maybe. I don't know.
You know how to take the reservation, but you don't know how to keep it.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part, Jerry.
Yeah. This was the funny part. I watched that the other day. I was thinking, people love this thing. Why do they like it?
Because you're just...
Anybody can take a reservation.
It was two pens. That's why it was funny, right? This is what I like to do. Why is that funny? Because it's the guy's taking reservations with two pens and pads in different locations.
Uh-huh.
So he's really not paying any attention at all.
Fantastic. But, oh, my gosh. All right, so we're going to show a clip after you leave, unless you want to stick around for another couple minutes here.
You know what my favorite line to do on the show was?
Well, hold on a second. Hold on to that. That's what we call a break.
That's a good tease, right?
Yeah, we'll be right back to finish up the show with Jerry Seinfeld. Don't go anywhere.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
By the way, tonight at the Hollywood Bowl, you, Jim Gaffigan, Nate Bargatze, and Sebastian Maniscalco, who's also in the movie, and so is Jim Gaffigan.
Yes.
So,
yes,
that'll be a fun night. And Netflix is a joke comedy festival. I think the Tom Brady roast is part of that this coming weekend as well. That'll be fun.
Sunday night, Tom Brady roast.
Fantastic.
So, he needs something to do.
We'll be there. I'm going to be there.
Great.
I love roast. Yeah. Jeff Ross is one of my favorite human beings on the planet.
So funny.
Before I let you go, you were just about to say your favorite line that you said on
I think
Seinfeld.
My favorite line was, that's a shame.
I love that one.
Love it.
Because it was just, I don't care.
Well, you're eating popcorn.
It's even better. Yeah, eating popcorn, watching some horrible thing happen to a close friend.
Right,
that's a shame.
I'll be honest. I send that to people.
That gift? All day.
All day.
Really?
As a Michigan fan, whenever Ohio State loses, I will text, honestly. I send that meme to so many people.
Oh, that's funny.
So the fact that you say this, and when did the idea of eating the popcorn come in? Because that adds to the nonchalantness of not caring.
The condescension, the disassociation, lack of empathy. It's all pop. What says lack of empathy more than popcorn?
That's a shame.
Yeah. Did you ever apologize to your wife while eating popcorn? No. That's not going to work. That's not going to work.
It undercuts
the sincerity. Yeah. These are the comedy science. You're getting it, Rich, like nobody else.
Oh, man, I can't get enough of it.
And it's fun stuff, right?
Oh, my God.
It's so much fun to take a joke apart.
And they're all over Unfrosted, available for streaming tomorrow only on Netflix. Unfrosted can be seen through Netflix right here on Roku. I cannot thank you enough for coming here, Jerry.
I love the show, Rich. Thank you for having me on.
Any, please. I know you don't get out here often enough. I've barely scratched the surface. Next time you come, I'll be lower. The desk will be smaller, and that mic will be history. Like I've never even seen it before.
At your peril, young man. At your peril. Don't touch anything on this show because it's great. It's working. It's a show business rule. Don't F with show business rules.
Right. Don't do it.
Don't.
Okay.
No.
That's funny. The only other guest that commented on maybe even moving anything, Arnold Schwarzenegger came in here.
Yeah.
Saw this chair.
Yeah.
Called it a baby chair and removed it. Got up, removed it, took Chris's chair, sat in his own chair, decided.
Is it taller, that chair?
Yes.
Your chair?
Yeah. It's up higher. Oh, it's just a regular office chair.
That is the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make an adjustment.
It's a 4-inch, 6-inch situation.
I think you need it.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Again, everyone check out Unfrosted. Netflix is a joke comedy festival tonight in the beautiful Hollywood Bowl. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Rich.
We'll be back to wrap up the show on the Roku channel in a sec.
Welcome to Talkville,
the Ultimate Smallville Rewatch Podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah, should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord, we get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.